chapter 23. We're going to read verses 32 through 43 in just a moment. I'm taking you to a portion of Scripture that we don't often read outside of Easter season. Now, obviously, we talk about the cross. We talk about Jesus dying for us all the time. At almost every sermon, we talk about that we are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross. And it comes up all year long in church. But there's certain passages in the Bible that it just seems like we don't read through them. It seems like we don't read through them if it's not Easter season. So, though we're not focusing on the death and resurrection of Jesus today, we are going to look at the thieves on the cross. And I say thieves because that's how it's translated. Some says criminals. But we know there were two men that were crucified with Jesus. And we don't often talk about them during the middle of the year, but I feel led to share this with you today and to unwrap a very, very simple, profound truth. It's nothing new, but it's one that is needed today and every single day. But Luke chapter 23, 32 through 43. There were also two others, criminals, led with him, it was Jesus, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you're the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that our eyes and our hearts both would be open to it today. In your name I pray. Amen. Here's a story that so many of us know. So many of us have heard over and over again. But we oftentimes miss this profound truth, this greatest truth that is taught from the beginning of the Bible through the end. It's why we have the Bible. It's why we're here today. But sometimes we miss it. But this is such a wonderful picture of this truth. No matter who you are, where you are from, what you are guilty of, or what you're in the middle of, Jesus will forgive and save you if you put your faith. Say that again. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, what you are guilty of, what you're stuck in the middle of, but Jesus will forgive and save you if you repent and put your faith in him. Now, when I say save you, I don't mean save you from the predicament. That doesn't always happen. There is nowhere in the story where it says this thief got off the cross before he died. He knew he was going to die. He still died. He saved him spiritually. He saved his spiritual life. He saved his soul. So I want you to know something to make it astoundingly clear. The requirements for salvation include this: being sorry and turning from your sin and putting your faith in Jesus to save you. Right? That's what it is. That's where we start. If someone says, "How do I meet Jesus? How do I get saved?" You must have sorrow for the sins that you've committed. You must know and accept the fact that you've done wrong. You must say, "I know that I'm wrong. I repent of those things. I want to turn from my ways." And the only way I can be saved, I know in my heart, the only one that can save me is Jesus. And I put my We want people to know Jesus. You look at this broken, terrible, awful world, and it seemingly just gets worse. I mean, it's just unreal, the things that we see and we hear daily. And sometimes somebody will say, I don't know, I think we've turned a corner. What corner? What side of town are we on now? I mean, it's pretty bad. But this is what we need. We need people to look around and look at the predicament they're in and say, there's only one way out of this. There's only one that can save us. And I'm putting my faith in Jesus. In this passage, you have two men. Two very similar men. I think they were probably cohorts, probably involved in the same activities. As in, they both went in to rob a place, you know, kind of like that. They knew each other. The way the one criminal spoke to the other one, and the way that they spoke, I think they were probably friends maybe before that. And so here they are, the same kind of guy, same predicament. They're both right there next to Jesus. Here it is, same opportunity, same chance for both of them. But what do we have? We have one who's angry. One who looks at Jesus and doesn't look at Jesus for who he really is, but for what he thinks of him. He's angry at him. I don't believe in this man. I don't think he's who he says he is. If he's who he says he is, why doesn't he do this for me? Then why doesn't he do this for me? If he's really God, why hasn't he done this? And how many times have you heard that from people? Well, if there really is a God, then how come? If there really is a God, then why did this happen? If there really is a God, how come this? People, there's so many questions that we'll never, ever be able to answer. And this thief had too many questions to ever put his faith in this man, Jesus. He said, I don't believe this. I don't think he can help me. If he can help me, then why is he in this situation? Why are we in this situation? We know people like that. We may have been that person. We may be that person. What you have is another man who's beginning to feel sorrow for what he's done. He hears Jesus say those words, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's thinking through his mind how he got to this place. What am I doing? Why am I here? I should have never done those things. Why is life like this? I can't believe that this is how I'm going to die. And he looks at Jesus. He says, this guy hasn't done anything. He's not like us. We know that we're wrong. We know that we've sinned. He tells the other guys, hey, man, lay off. We're up here because we deserve it. And he just looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, will you remember me? He put his faith in Jesus. He knew his only hope was in Jesus. There's the difference in those two people. He was sorry and he wanted to be saved. He put his faith in Jesus. Of course, what was Jesus' response? Jesus' response was to look at him and say, today, you will be with me in paradise. He answered yes. If you come to him and you say, Jesus, I put my faith in you. I know that I've done wrong. Will you save me? And Jesus says, absolutely. Every time. He wraps his arms around us spiritually. He draws us near and we can be saved. Let's be very clear about something else. Let's be very clear about this thief. This thief was not a church member. This thief didn't get baptized. This thief had never taken communion. This thief had never given a tithe. He didn't collect coats and shoes. He never read his Bible. He never went in the booth and talked to the priest. He never prayed to Mary or held the rosary. He never went on an overseas missions trip. He never got with the preacher and said the sinner's prayer. He didn't speak in tongues. He wasn't dressed in a Sunday best. He was just sorry, and he put his faith in Jesus. That's what you need to know today. He had sorrow for his sins, and he put his faith in Jesus. How does that fit in your theology? How does that fit in your belief system on how you get to heaven? A lot of us need to go back and start rereading the Bible and start figuring out exactly what it takes to get to heaven. Because this story is a prime example. God doesn't give one of us salvation one way and somebody else's salvation another. He didn't make an exception for this guy because, well, he can't exactly get off the cross. He could if he wanted him to. Jesus wanted there to be another requirement. He said, okay, I'm going to pop off there for a minute. I'm going to let you go jump in the water and get back up here. Right? I'm going to flex on my blood over there. This is in remembrance of me. Right? He didn't say, well, Holy Spirit, oh, you can't do those things because the Holy Spirit's not going to be here until I'm dead. I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait. No. He has requirements, and the same requirements for me, and the same requirements for you. Look at yourself and the predicament you're in and say, hey, I don't like this. I don't like the way that I live. I don't like where I've ended up. I'm sorrowful for where I'm at, and I want this to change. Jesus, will you remember me? Will you save me? Will you change me? And every single time, Jesus says yes. He says yes. I tell you today, repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. I can say it over and over again. I hope you can say it over and over again. What do you have to do? Repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus. It doesn't have to be a certain special prayer that only the preacher knows. And that's almost how we've made that sinner's prayer, isn't it? I mean, isn't there a time where, like they said, if you said their sinner's prayer, you're trying to say the sinner's prayer? Who even knows the sinner? I don't even know if there is actual sinner's prayer. But they all say it like there is. If you said the sinner's prayer, what is that? Could you quote it? They're not even using Bible verses when they say the sinner's prayer. How much sense does that make? You know, we didn't get saved when we recite this little prayer. Where is that in the Bible? Well, I think some guy made it up. What guy? Right? It's not there. If we were going to say something, maybe we would say, say the thief's prayer. Jesus, will you remember me? Jesus, I'm sorry. Will you save me? Will you remember me? Why don't we use a story out of the Bible where they come and they say, Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Why don't we at least use a Bible verse? But all Jesus wants you to do is pray and put your faith in them. Use your words. He created you. He knows how to talk. Right? Just come to him and say, Jesus, I don't want to be like this anymore. I'm sorry. Will you save me? Will you change me? That's what we have to do. Martin Luther started the Reformation in 1517. Changed the church. Because the church had become to the point where the Catholic Church had taken over, and the whole entire church had this idea of all these things you had to do to be saved, and all these meetings you had to go to, and all these steps you had to climb up on your knees, and all the prayers there, and do this and do that. You had to come to church and buy cards. Peter's bones, and how many bones is going on? That would be a lot because everybody bought some. And so everybody buys a piece of their cross. Well, how big's that cross? And then they're selling stuff. And just, oh, and Martin Luther's trying to study the Bible and he's going, I just don't think that's how you get to heaven. And as he's going through his Bible and he's looking, he gets to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says, therefore, by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And Martin Luther said, wait a minute. So there's nothing I can do to be saved. It's just faith. It says clearly that all I have to do is put my faith in Jesus. And then it clearly says, hey man, this isn't about you. There's nothing you could do to be saved, other than put your faith in Jesus. And he comes to the church and puts another list of 95 things in the church. Hey, by the way, not only is this verse right, here's 95 other things you did wrong, and he nails it on the door, and they walk away, and he says, I'm starting a church where all we got to do to be saved is put your faith in Jesus. Now, he might not have been right about everything, but he was certainly right about that. And people started to catch on, and people started to learn. What you have to do is just put your faith in Jesus, which is what they knew when the church first started. When the disciples went out, when Paul, who was part of starting the church, was telling people that. He was taking boats and going places and saying, hey, have you heard about Jesus? And they're like, who's Jesus? He's like, all right. He's the Son of God, and he came down, and he lived to give you an example, and he died on this cross, and died for your sins. You know how Jews do sacrifices, and they're like, yeah, we know about that. Well, then he died in your place, and then he rose again, so that and he gives them this whole thing, and they're going, what do we got to do? And he says, repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, and you'll be saved. So this morning, I tell you the same. I want you to understand what happened to that thief surmounts to a deathbed confession. Some people have asked me before, the pastor, do you think that there are deathbed confessions? I said, absolutely. I said, again, the thief on the cross is a good example for many things, but it's also a great example for a deathbed confession. He was dying, literally. It was a death cross confession. He was there in the middle of dying. He knew he was going to die in a matter of hours and minutes. And he was sorry. He said, I'm sorrowful for where I'm at. I'm not like this other guy. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry at you. This is my fault. And I love that. That we can figure that out, right? The one thief's mad at Jesus, and he's like, I'm only up here because you won't get me down. If you were really God, you could help me. But how many people do you know, or how many times have you done that, when my situation wouldn't be like this if God would just, if my family would have been, it's his fault I was born in this family, and if God would just, but the one thief said, hey, I'm on this cross because of what I did. I'm sorry. And will you save me? And so that's what happened. But it was a deathbed confession. He was afraid. He was sorrowful for what he had done. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. And he put his faith in him. It can and does happen. Now, I hope you don't try to wait that long. Because the truth is, you may not get a deathbed. Right? I tell you all the time, you may meet a tree. You may be in your car. It might be just a second. That's all you had, was to look up and think, oh, no, and that's it. Right? You're not guaranteed that when you hit the tree that you have that 10, 20, 30 seconds as you slowly fade away to think, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And there's other people who say, oh, don't you think God understands? I mean, yeah, God understands. He understands that his son died for you, that you know about it, that he offered it to you, and that every second leading up to when you met that tree, you had the opportunity to accept it. So when you get there, you can't tell them, well, you had a little bit longer. You had plenty of time. Sitting here today, you have time. Right now, put your faith in him. So don't blame him later on that you didn't have time. You've got time. People, if you have time for anything, you've got time to put your faith in Jesus. The question I ask you is, what if that thief got off the cross? What if Jesus had saved him, not only in his soul, but physically? He looks at Jesus, he puts his faith in him, and he says, Jesus, I believe you, who you say you are. Would you forgive me of my sin? Save me, remember me. And Jesus says, I will remember you. Pop him off there. Now what should he do? Is he going to just go back to stealing stuff? Does he get to just go, oh, all right, now I'm saved, I can do whatever I want? As some people may be telling you, yeah, it doesn't matter. Now that Jesus saved him, he's good. What? What Bible are we reading? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible over and over again tells us to follow God's commands. Jesus clearly says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And how am I going to say I love him, I put my faith in him, and then I go do whatever I want? Those don't go together. But you also can't say, oh, well, Jesus never really saved him. He must have not been saved. No, he was there. I saw him, he saved him. Told him he was saved, he got off the cross, there he was. He was saved, all right. Now what happened after that, I'm not sure what was wrong with him. But I know that he was saved. But what should he do? And all of us would agree. Well, man, you go do whatever Jesus wants you to do. If Jesus sets you free, if Jesus gets you off that cross, you just look at Jesus and say, hey, man, thank you. I'm so thankful to be saved. What do you want me to do? Now the question is that what you do? Is that what I do? Now that Jesus has saved me, now that he's set me free, do I do that? Do I look at Jesus and say, hey, I'm just so thankful to be saved and set free. I'm so glad to be off that cross that I don't have to die for my sins. What do you want me to do? Now, a lot of it's going to include things on that list that I listed earlier. Right? That thief had never been baptized. But if he got down, I bet he would have been. If he got down, I bet he said, where's the water, man? I'm one of you guys now. And he said, all right, let's go. And then he said, everybody watch this. He's one of us now. Because he would have loved to publicly say, I'm a Christian, watch me. Right? And they would have said, hey, you know what Jesus did? We had this meeting right before he died. And he took this cup and he had this bread. And he told us to eat it every tell me to remember that death on the cross. I go, oh, I remember. I know I remember the cross. And he goes, okay, well, here's the cup. We haven't done this before. But you drink this and eat this and you have communion. We remember the Lord. We call it the Lord's Supper. So it's amazing. He goes, yeah. So we're going to teach this to people. And then when they do it, for thousands of years now, they're going to remember Jesus. You think you wouldn't go to church? You think you wouldn't have went and listened to people preach? You think you wouldn't have started listening to the Bible differently when the priest began to read it at the temple? You don't think you would have wanted to know more about Jesus? See, that's what's supposed to happen, but putting your faith in Jesus comes first. That comes first. I'm sure you would have wanted to put on a different outfit, right? He took the cross, he's like, I put something nice on here, and I got to clean myself up a little bit, and I probably have some people I need to go talk to and make amends because I'm not the person I used to be. I probably need to go say I'm sorry to some people and let them know that I'm a different person and that I'm changed. And I don't want to be that person anymore. But the faith part comes first. And that's what I want the world to know. Right where you are in this moment, just like the thief on the cross, right in the middle of the punishment for a sin, still a sinner, still dark, still doomed, gloomy. But he put his faith in Jesus. And that's when the change began. Everything else comes after. Everything else comes after through the help of the Holy Spirit. Too many people think, you know, they'll get cleaned up and they'll come to church and I'm going to try to get my life better. And no. And that's fine. Clean up when you come to church. There's too much in your life to fix. There's too many wrongs that we could never right. And what we have to do is come to church and say, Jesus, I've done a lot wrong. I'm not where I should be, but I need your help. And I know you're the only one that can save me. I'm putting my faith in you. And it's that moment when those changes start taking place. And so that's my prayer today. I've had people ask me before, and to be honest with you, it kind of scares me. It kind of scares me what they think about church. It kind of scares me what maybe they've been taught before. But I've had people, they'll mention a certain sin, or they'll mention something, they'll say, well, can those people attend your church? Can somebody who, and you fill in the blank, come to your church? First of all, it's God's church. And if I talk about our church in town, I never say my church is our church. Right? We'd love for you to come out to our church. I'm the preacher. It doesn't mean it's my church. It doesn't put me in charge of the world. It's our church. We serve here. We come here. We worship here. We fellowship here. But I'd say, can they come to our church? Absolutely. I've never pastored anywhere in my life. Anywhere that I've ever preached, there were people there living in sin. There were people there who were living in sexual immorality, all kinds. People that were liars, people who were angry, people who were hypocrites, people who were greedy, people who were mad from something that happened that week, people plotting something dastardly. There's all kinds of things that when people come to church, it's just destroying their bodies, right? I've preached with all kinds present, but that's exactly who I want to hear the message. People, those thieves were right next to Jesus. There was no better place to be, right? And what we're not going to do, is get them so-and-so come to church. I want everybody to come to church. I would love it. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to sugarcoat things, right? We're not going to pretend that sin isn't sin. We're not going to twist the word. We're not going to play games. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to preach the word. And we're going to point you to Jesus on the cross. And we're going to say, he's the one that can save you. So can people come here? Yeah, just like the thief. I want them to. Invite them. Go talk to them. We want them to know Jesus. That's the Jesus we want them to meet. The Jesus that died for them, that shed his blood, that their sins might be forgiven. Any sinner who hears the message of Jesus Christ has the opportunity to accept salvation. The question really is, which one are we? We're one thief or the other. We're one criminal or the other. We've all sinned. We are due punishment just like him. We are due to die just like Jesus did. The only way we know is if Jesus takes our place. So which one am I? Am I the one that scoffs at him, gets upset at him, doesn't like his plan, doesn't like the way way things work out. I don't believe that he's who he says he is. I'm not really sure about him. So I'm just going to go with what I got. All right. That's on you. What about the other one? What about the other one? I've seen things for what they are, and my hope and my prayer is that you are that criminal, that you are that sinner, that you feel sorrow for your sins, that you want to get off your cross, right? Your cross is sin. It leads to death. We're all dying in our sins if we haven't put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what I want for you today. To look at yourself and say, I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to be sorrowful. I don't want to live a life that I regret. I don't want to feel guilty when I go to bed at night. I want to know that I'm clean. Right? I want to know that one day when I stand before God, that He doesn't even see me. He sees the blood of Jesus. Right? I'm dirty. I'm messed up. I've done bad things. I'm a sinner. And so when I stand in front of God, I am in no way, shape, or form ready to stand in front of God. Because if you said, hey, God's coming, like, I need a better outfit. Right? I got to do something. Hey, God, hey, let's not talk about. You know? We all have things we'll be like, and they'll be like, yeah, He knows. He saw you. God knows everything. You'd be embarrassed. He's like, wait, everything I've ever done, everything I've ever thought, He knows. It's like, yeah, well, I can't go in there. You want to talk to anybody that knows every secret about you? I don't want to see that person ever. You would skip 10 aisles just to get away from them at Walmart. You walk by and see yourself, no, we got to go. We got to get wine there. I can't explain to you. I don't want to be here anymore. You feel so uncomfortable that somebody knew everything about you. But when God sees you, what you want is you want to stand before Him, and what He sees is the blood of Jesus. Because when I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, that's what He sees. He looks at me and He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Right? Right? He doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see all the guilt and the harm and the things that I've done that have hurt others and that have hurt myself. What He sees is the blood of His Son who was sacrificed for me. Are you ready to put your faith in Jesus? Is this the point where you feel sorrowful enough for your sins? If you look at how badly you've messed things up, and do you finally say, I put my faith in Him? There's no way I can get out of this. I know there's no way I'll ever make it to heaven without Him. I put my faith in Him. All those other things are great, and all those other things can come after. And I love baptizing people. I love taking people in membership. I love being a part of all those kinds of special things. But people, there's nothing better than introducing somebody to Jesus and seeing them put their faith in Him. Because through His Spirit, He takes care of everything else. And I want the world to know that today. That no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what your family has done, no matter how terrible the things you've done are, no matter what sin you're living in right now, that if you just put your faith in Jesus, He'll forgive you and He will save you. The changes and all those things, it's too much for you. It's too much for me. But the Holy Spirit will help you. Put your faith in Jesus today. Would you stand with me this morning? Mary, would you come forward for just a moment? As he comes forward, I'm going to ask him to play quietly. With heads bowed and nobody looking around, we would be remiss if we didn't take a moment and say, is there anybody here who you've gotten to the point like that thief where you're looking around and while the world is scoffing at Jesus and while everybody else is saying, well, there's no God. And if God was around, why is the world like this? And they don't believe and they don't trust Him. And they don't want anything to do with Him. But maybe you're right there next to them. But that's not the Jesus you see. You see a God of love. You see the God of compassion. You see the God that sent His Son to die for you. And you look to Jesus today. And you say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Would you remember me? Would you help me? In the midst of everything else that's going on, there's nothing I can do and just put my faith in you. And so this morning, if there's somebody that wants to put their faith in Him, this is personal. This is a personal relationship. But He wants to cover your sins with His blood. I'd love to invite you to this place of prayer, this altar. I can't pray for you. If I could pray into heaven, I'd have already done it. But this is personal. you have to put your faith in Him. Is there anybody today that wants to come and wants to pray? Is there somebody today that wants to raise their hand and say, Pastor, I know it doesn't matter where I'm at. I don't have to do it at the altar. I don't even have to do it at the church building. He did it from the cross. He did it in the midst of being punished for his sins. But I want you to know that right where I stand today, I'm going to pray that prayer. I'm putting my faith in Jesus that He would save me and that He would change me. Is there somebody this morning you just lift your hand up and back down and say, I'm putting my faith in Him? God bless each of you this morning. I want you to leave this place knowing that this is not only true for me, it's true for you, and it's true for everyone you know. That is why we are here. This is why we study the Bible. This is why we do what we do, because we want people to know that God loves them, He changes lives, and if they put their faith in Him, He will save them. And so today, take that truth for you, but please share it with the world around you. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here. I thank You for each one that's here. I pray, Father, that You would bless them with a wonderful day today. But Father, if we need to feel that burden of conviction, if we need to be told today that we're headed in the wrong direction, if we need to feel that tug to put our faith in You, if there's an area of our life where we haven't put our faith in You, if there's an area of our life that we're trying to hold back and we're still trying to fix on our own, I pray, Father, that we would put our faith in You. But Father, for a lost world, for the people we love, for lost family members, for our friends, for our community, for our co-workers, for our state, for our nation, for our world, Father, I pray that people would be sorrowful for their sins and they would put their faith in Jesus to save them. It starts with us, Father, but help us to tell everyone we can. Put your faith in Jesus because Jesus saves. It's in Your name we pray, and everybody said it.